Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the It Doesn't Matter podcast. My name is John, and we've got
the Dominican Dream, baby. This is Papi Platano.
There he is. And we also have
I am the Notorious One. I am Dom Boo.
And today we're covering a show that we were all in attendance for, TNA Lockdown 2008, taking place in Boston by way of Lowell, Massachusetts at the Songus Center. That's a silent T for all you local people, the Songus Center. And so, Don, let's kick off TNA Lockdown 2008.
TNA Lockdown 2008. This is Abel and I's first TNA show. Before we got into the show, they had a meet and greet. We met the Motor City Machine Guns and Roxy Laveau. If y'all don't believe me, check this out. Woo! Looking like some jabrons right here. Happy to see these people.
What the hell happened to Lita?
We was in the building. We was
almost messed me up in the picture. Oh, hey, how you doing? Picture time.
For real. Couple of big bros right there. But all right, the show kicks off with Mike Tenay, and he's inside the Six Sides of Steel. Guys, this is when TNA had the Six Sides in the ring, and it was a cool concept. They need to bring it back. But every single match
is going to be Steel?
No. Just the Six Sided ring.
Nah. Happened. They already said this never. The WrestleMania just wasn't. It wasn't good to. That's a no-no.
That's why they made it unique.
I know it was, but they said no mas.
Watching, you know, flipping the channels and seeing it on ESPN 2, and I'm like, wait, what the hell?
Yeah,
Raven.
It caught my eye too. I was like, what?
Here's something I would never watch anyway, but it's in Six Sides. Let me keep tuning in.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. Did you subscribe to the weekly pay-per-views, John?
I stand by the fact that I've never, ever had actual pay-per-view capability, so that would be a no. But back in the original TNA format, where you spend $10 a week per pay-per-view, adding up to a regular pay-per-view, $40 back in that time, no, I didn't, I wouldn't, I won't. However, our friend Randy, who would I would convince him over time to start getting the TNA pay-per-views because they were good at the time. But as soon as he started ordering them, and as soon as I started going over to his house to watch them, that's when, you know, Hogan and Bischoff took over, and that's when the show started sucking ass.
Damn it!
So, but this is still a decent era, 2008. So we're in for a good show here tonight, guys.
Yes, it was.
Yes. Yeah, so the main event of this show is Samoa Joe, who is your AEW champion right now, taking on the Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle. If Joe loses, he has to retire. Obviously, we know the story because Joe is your AEW champion right now. But we're going to take it back to 2008.
There's been plenty of people to retire and unretire. God damn it, Dom, you egg-sucking dog.
So many cuss words. I keep already bleeping you out, pal.
Already. All right, so we get the Hall of Famer Don West in the crowd asking the people who's going to win, Samoa Joe or Kurt Angle. Then we see JB, Jeremy Borash, asking the fans the same thing. The fans are hyped. They are hyped. I think they were so hyped, like the loudest fan could probably go backstage and meet some fans, or meet some wrestlers.
What?
Yeah, that's why they get it. That was the gimmick in all TNA shows. They convince you. If you're the loudest fan in the audience, we would give you backstage passes. And I got four backstage passes here, guys. You know, so.
Yeah, JB got me one time. That's how I ended up with the FG guitar.
That doesn't count, man. That doesn't count. I mean, these tickets were giveaways. You'd be the loudest fan. I give you a free ticket. Not, hey, man, buy this guitar for $200 and we'll bring you backstage. Oh, by the way, everybody left.
Damn.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Yes, sir.
I missed that dude. All right, so we got Mike Tenay and Don West on commentary. I'm going to say Mike West. Mike Tenay is on commentary. Our first match is for the X Division Championship. It is an escape match. Like I said, every single match on this card tonight is going to be inside that cage. So at the time, it was a cool concept. So the first match is for the X Division Championship. We have Curry Man. That dude has a lot of similarities to somebody in AEW right now, like a fallen angel.
Perhaps.
We have Johnny Devine.
Who?
He came out to the ring. He spit his gum in some fan's face. The disrespect. He would have got pop, bang. We got Consequences Creed. I think I seen Consequences Creed when we was in Philadelphia. I think he had a match at WrestleMania.
No one
remembers. He had the Creed shorts on. Anyways, we have Sanjay Dutt, another AEW guy. We have Shark Boy. And we have Black Machismo, Jay Lethal.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. So at this time, Jay Lethal and Sanjay Dutt are best friends.
Still on to this day.
Still to this day. They still work together side by side in AEW. And basically, first one to escape the cage wins the match.
And becomes your new first X Division champion, or still.
Yeah, so your first elimination was Sanjay Dutt, eliminated by Johnny Devine. And then just seeing Curry Man move, I'm like, all right, that's Christopher Daniels right there. Did not know it at the time until, you know, later and Wikipedia, of course. But what do you guys think about Curry Man?
I actually like this for some reason. It was completely... Even as masked wrestlers, it's hard to, like, show emotions, but freaking Christopher Daniels had a whole different character with this. He looked like he was having fun and just enjoying himself with the mask character. So for me, I like Curry Man. That was my dude back then.
He's so hot. He's so spicy. He's Curry Man.
You also forgot he tastes great.
I don't know about that.
I thought Curry Man was a fun gimmick, and it was not obvious that was Christopher Daniels. He lost a Feast and Fired match, so he was fired from TNA, and he came back. He was still working in the company as Curry Man. But, if we back up just a little bit, the first 15 minutes of the show is dominated by freaking Mike Tenay. I saw Mike Tenay two times before I saw any actual professional wrestler, all right? What the hell was up with that? Why am I paying for some stupid video package narrated by the guy who's on the show for the next 3 hours? Now, if you have a WrestleMania open with Meek Mill or Mark Wahlberg or Kim Kardashian or something, that's different. That's a celebrity. That's a big-time celebrity. You just have good old Mike Tenay announcing the show. In the ring, pre-taped, unnecessary. And then this was fine. This was okay. You jumped to Don West and JB in the crowd with a raucous, wild crowd. That's okay, too. That was interesting. Maybe one of the current companies could do that right now and just, be in there and be with the people. That was cool. I agree with that. And then they throw to ringside. There's Mike Tenay one more time. In case you wanted to know what you're paying for, Mike Tenay down. That's what you're paying for. But yes, this opening X Division match inside the Six Sides of Steel. I mean, you just watch the talent there. You know how talented they actually are, and they're stuck in the X Division. Stuck being an operative word here, but they did what they always do. They had a hot, exciting, nonstop action, and that's what we got. And the finish with, was it Johnny Devine? Almost leaving the cage with the win, and then that Black Machismo, Jay Lethal, with the help of SoCal Val. Just leaping out of the cage into ringside. That bump must have hurt his hips for a good while.
It doesn't hurt anyone going, so.
Jay Lethal coming away with the win, celebrating with Sanjay Dutt and SoCal Val up the ramp. And Sanjay Dutt, hey, play up the camera. Sanjay Dutt's just like, yeah.
Didn't win, but my boy did. Yeah.
God bless you, the player from the Himalaya.
Yes. All right.
Anyway, I've been a long time. John?
What?
Where is SoCal Val at?
So she just posted a picture. I think she was at WrestleMania, and she probably did some WrestleCon appearances. But
I seen her
much in the business.
I seen her. She was at the WrestleCon Super Show. She was a ring announcer. And if you guys don't know, she is married to Speedball Mike Bailey.
Really?
Really.
Upgrade.
So we might see a little Speedball going through AEW one day. Maybe.
Well, Okay.
No, he's with TNA right now. Anyway, so.
Speedball is the plainest looking human being ever in the world.
But he wrestles like Hijo de Vikingo.
He's good. I liked him in PWG. He, you know, looked like his he had a flowy haircut, but that's beside the point. He is an excellent professional wrestler, but needs a little more juice on him somehow. But hey, that's Speedball Mike Bailey for you.
Unfortunately, he don't got that hoovy juice. All right, Dom.
Juice. Speaking of juice, we got the Queen of the Cage match. Our next match, we have Christy Hemme, Salinas, Jacqueline,
Salinas. Oh,
the beautiful people, Angelina Love and Velvet Sky, Raka Khan, and Roxy Laveau. You can tell Roxy. This is 2008. Look at my photo.
That is your photo?
That is my photo. Wow. You want to see the date?
It's got to be from the internets.
Nah, I had a lot of pictures, but they were kind of
so quality. So back in the day, you had better seats than you have now. Is that the idea?
Yo, actually, we were on the opposite side of the entrance.
Yep. Okay.
And yeah, we it was good. It was good.
Oh,
it was
a visual maybe camera.
Six, seven rows back.
We're on the floor, and then we'll talk about what happened down the road.
Yeah. So all right. So this match. This match did not matter to me because the purpose of this match was the women start outside. Oh, they have to climb inside. And the first two, the inside, whoever wins that will get a future title shot. That was stupid.
They'd be a winner, but they'd be a loser facing the women's champion. Awesome Kong.
Yeah, that's what the commentator in it. Yeah, you ain't beating my girl, Awesome Kong. Kia Stevens.
I'd rather have a Hyundai. Yeah, this was a backwards Vince Russo kind of match. Get into the ring, and once they got into the ring, everyone just walked to the back. The
match was like, over. <"What?"> Like, what?
You know, but
Angelina Love, the first one in the cage. Oof. Then Roxy gets in the ring. And then, Roxy hit her. What was that move that Roxy finished her with?
Same thing that Paige uses. I think it's the PTO.
Rampage?
I think that's what. Rampage.
Yeah,
I don't know if she still calls it that anymore.
Well, I still call it that when I watch it at home. This is Rampage. There it goes.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty decent match once the girl was going. I'm not used to that type of style, and I hate it. I was like, what the fuck was that? Like, I outside the cage, and then to have only two women each other, it's just like, well, as we.
Damn those biker boys, that movie, that Fast and Furious knockoff from the year 2000.
It really was.
On the guns.
But yeah, those girls, they actually put on a show. I wasn't very familiar with Roxy at the time, but I was starting to watch her more after this match. She showed some fire, some energy that I wasn't expecting to see from her. And I'm actually glad we actually got the picture with her too. So Roxy with the win, well, the photo.
Baby faces.
Strap, what happened to Roxy?
Well, I can tell you this. She got her head shaved eventually, and that's
who's. I remember that.
She did. I remember that. Wow. Yeah.
So that's all you get. Because that's all I got.
Listen to this. I hope we speak with you, and I hope we get a quick interview with you.
It turns out she's dead.
No.
I don't know that.
How dare you break my heart? All right.
Moving on. All right. So our next match, another cage match, brother versus brother.
Cage match at all.
you have BG James taking on Kip James. You don't know who BG James is. That's the Road Dog, Jesse James.
And
Kip
James
is the badass Billy Gunn. And this 2008, Billy still looked the same. Road Dog seems like he's just happy to be there.
How the hell do you look like you're in 1997 in 2004? That's ridiculous.
2008.
I know. I'm just talking about him from back when we first saw him in 1998, 99. And then he still looks like
94. This is 08. 2020.
This motherfucker never aged.
Yeah. This match had one hell of a video package, and it seemed like it was going to be a deep and dark and heavy, intense match. Man, this match didn't even belong on Main Event or Velocity. This match was dog meat. It was garbage. I wanted more from it because, you know, they're the New Age Outlaws, you know, and they're fighting each other. And as a matter of fact, it reminded me of modern day, like, wrestling in that, of like AEW, as a matter of fact, and not in a good way this time, because, you know, you're bringing these two mainstream stars from the WWFE and you're plugging them in into your show, but you're not doing a darn thing with them and they're not drawing anyone. But sort of, I mean, like I said, I perked up a little when I found out it was Badass Billy Gunn and the Road Dogg. So, and this is what they delivered was a piece of junk. And I mean, it was designed to build to another match, a more intense match. I mean, what's intense about a cage match? I have no idea. But it looks like they're building it to a future match, kind of like Jimmy and Jay at WrestleMania XL. It was just there, wasn't very good. They're planning for the future. But as it was presented, piece of crap, dog meat, DM.
So this is the third match right here. Oof. Third cage match. Every match is a cage match, like I said before. And not one person used a damn cage. No, not one person threw somebody in the cage, right in their face inside the cage. Not one damn thing. It's just a regular wrestling match with a cage on the outside, just sitting right there.
It's very limiting.
This match was terrible. It was trash. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Our next match is, oh my God, it's a, what the hell you want to call it?
It's cage match.
16 cuffed in a cage match.
Oh my God, this is so ridiculous.
So we have Kaz, Frankie Kazarian, who's back in TNA now, with Eric Young. Eric Young got beat up backstage by Relic. John, who's Relic?
Johnny the Bull Stamboli.
Oh. And his partner, Black Rain. Everybody know Black Rain. If you don't know who Black Rain is, that is Gold Dust or Dustin Rhodes.
Fat Dustin Rhodes. That's right.
So we also have the LAX.
Mm-hmm.
Hernandez and Homicide. And the Motor City Machine Guns. And Petey Williams. And Big Pop Pump Scott Steiner, and with the Rock and Rave Infection, Lance Hoyt and Jimmy Rave, and Lance Archer. He still looked the same to this day. But guys, I was hyped to see Scott Steiner. I was hyped for Petey Pump. I was all about the Maple Leaf Muscle. Yep. That was my guy right there. And man, Scott Steiner, he came in and he did the damn thing. He was throwing mother lovers around. But you always got to get the biggest guy out. He's the first one handcuffed.
Then after you
start handcuffing everybody. I'm like, wait, that's it? You just got to handcuff everybody and the match is over?
Mm-hmm. I was upset with that. Like, the most charismatic guy in the whole damn match and you cuff him. You just eliminated probably what could have been the best storyline in the whole damn match. Why? Why would you do that? It's off night. Taking a break.
I wish at the time Scott Steiner was mic'd up. I wish I could just hear what he was talking about.
who said he's not mic'd up? They probably got some backstage stuff that we don't hear, but like, you goddamn.
Were you watching that entrance? He got bleeped more times than Poppy Platino in this earlier episode.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
I'm like, whoa, this is DVD, man. What the hell?
Oh, man. Yo, and it's just crazy. Like, you watched on the DVD. I watched it on the TNA Plus app, and the quality, man, it looked like it was 2008.
Yeah, it did.
It was like no high definition, nothing about it. It was like so foggy and grainy.
Yeah, 70 inch TV. What do you expect?
It looked just like this right here. That's what it looked like.
That's why you didn't turn on that Ring of Honor app from 2006. It would look worse. Worse than that.
I remember calling you up like, something wrong with my Ring of Honor app. Like, oh, what do you mean? Like, I don't hear no sound. Oh, yeah. Next thing they just get in the ring, just start fighting, and then commentary happens. Like,
you find out why, because they were playing music that weren't supposed to be.
Just like ECW.
ECW.
All right, but this silly little match with 20,000 competitors in it.
Good Lord. Kaz was impressive. Oh, man, yeah. Antonio Banderas was impressive back then.
He had a lot of pushes, start and stop, mostly stop.
A lot. I've noticed.
And you know what? That flex capacitor, that move we see every now and then in AEW, I used to love that move back then, that and the Canadian Destroyer. But nowadays, it doesn't matter.
It's like a DDT now. Everyone does it, and it's sad. A move that should be sacred to one guy for his finisher. It's almost like the super kick, even though gentleman Chris Adams was the first person to ever use the super kick. Later, Sean would use it as the sweet chin music. And now the Young Bucks, I mean, granted, I know the Young Bucks do it purposely just to piss fans off, the ones that can't stand them. It's like, oh, all we do is super kicks? So we'll give you a match with all we're doing is super kicks. You don't like us doing super kicks? We'll give you a match where we don't throw a goddamn single super kick. And then you waste freaking Steve Corino's money. He wasted $5,000 on that super kick. I love that. That was my favorite.
$20,000 on the super kick meter. I know it wasn't used once.
Oh, my wife's going to kill me.
Oh, I love Steve Corino as a commentator. That's where I you get the you hit him in the ding ding. Because that's
yep.
Steve Corino. Ding ding. Hit him in the ding ding. That's where it's from.
Super kick.
All right, so back to this cheesy match. So Eric Young, who got beat up backstage, he finally comes out. He tries to climb the cage, and Relic and Black Rain, Goldust was all up in his face. And next thing you know, I'm sad. I'm going to the back. He came back, and Super Eric came out. Super Eric, the superhero with a mask and a shirt.
The alter ego.
Yeah, EY got the win. That was it. Everybody was handcuffed. Super Eric for the win.
Sure. Yeah. Well, if you want the Hurricane that sucks, there's Super Eric for you.
Yes. I got nothing to say about this, man. This match was so confusing. It was all over the place. You handcuff somebody to start to end the match. It's like, ugh.
That's the only way you'll get me to watch this match again, if you handcuff me.
Pretty much.
Right. This ain't Extreme Rules. Oh my goodness.
Well, Nita, where are you?
It's funny. We were all at this show, and yeah, this is our first live TNA show. And I was hyping the crowd, but watching this show back, it was a struggle. It really was.
Yeah. For what it was when we first started, it was different. It was a different concept. Yeah, it was really like, was. All right, You're getting everything in a cage, but every cage match was a different concept. It's like, oh, well. But then you get older and you're like, nah. But let's go on to the next match there, Bubba.
All right. So our next cage match is a tag match. And we have Awesome Kong and Raisha Saeed going against Gail Kim and ODB.
Worked on that all week.
Who is Saeed, John?
I knew her as cheerleader Melissa, and she was actually really pretty. Don't why they put her in a Habib, that's what they decided to do. So
she is like Tony Schiavone says, all the way live.
The hell does that mean?
It's an old way of saying
all the way live.
Yes, gorgeous, gorgeous.
All right. Plato was happy with this match because he's seen Awesome Kong, one of the greatest women's wrestler of all time.
Yep. Even though she did do a goddamn thing in this match. Smart.
Oh, man.
Hey, everybody says Hogan was one of the best wrestlers of all time, and he didn't do a goddamn thing. Hey, if you're selling merch and you're bringing it in the crowd, keep doing what you're doing.
I don't think you have merch.
Yo, Raisha Saeed in this whole match, I was like, I don't remember so much of this match at the beginning. And then I was like, oh, I remember that. She was very impressive. They said this was the first time they seen her wrestle like in all of TNA, because I guess she was just being a valet for the time being. And because she was supposedly in the dojo with Awesome Kong, and she put a hell of a show. I was like, okay, if this is a valet and she's doing shit like this, I'm going to keep watching. So for that time, Raisha Saeed, you do matter.
She's working the gimmick. Gail Kim got in the ring. I want her. okay, next you know, she did all the basic moves and she was showing out Gail Kim. And yeah, but the finish of the match, we see Kong accidentally hit Saeed with a back fist.
Yeah,
then Gail Kim off the top rope with that drop kick to Awesome Kong. Kong sold the hell out of that drop kick. Then ODB, bam, with the splash off the top rope for the win. I met ODB.
ODB is awesome. I'd like to go to a food truck, get a burger. But
she still has that?
I don't know. Burned down once.
I know it is.
I remember my live perspective of this. I remember seeing Gail Kim out there. I was never, you know, a fan of Gail Kim in WWE that in that way. But I was like, damn, she's really hot and tan. ODB, always great. So cool. Good for some of what it was.
Yeah, it's crazy. You mentioned Gail Kim. It seems like her WWE runs never ran the way they should have. They always just, they were very short. She'd come in, she knew what the deal was. She's like, I'm not a fucking diva. I'm a wrestler. I'm not gonna...
She gave shit back like to Johnny Ace, that's for sure.
Good for her. I mean, if you're not liking where you're at, fuck it. But
all we need you to do is be in there for 10 seconds. So Gail Kim's in there. Ding, ding, ding. 1, 2, 3, 10 well, out of there.
Since ODB won.
Yeah, get that flask on shoptna.com. Jimmy J, high five. All right.
Drinking water.
Nope.
All right. Our next steel, six sides of steel cage match that we have. We have Booker T with his wife Charmel taking on Robert Roode and Peyton Banks. John,
who's Peyton Banks? Peyton Banks? I don't know. I seen that. I was like, don't know. I don't care. But Bobby Roode here, you know, and when Booker T came to TNA, you know, he was still a face. He was a face. He was a heel when he left his WWE at the time. And it just didn't really work. And Booker T didn't want to be there. He's all about the money. And it showed in his performances throughout his TNA run. Why they let him get away with it? Well, why did lots of people? Because he copied his WCW brethren at the time, although he was the good kid at the time, and he let, you know, the Hogans and the Bagwells and the Lugers and all those guys not care and not try. He did the same thing here in TNA. He just slacked off, did the bare minimum, pretended to do this stupid British accent, trying to get an acting job, and goofed around with Kevin Nash and the Main Event Mafia guys.
Booker T, but he's blasting over here. He's talking over here. He's commentating. Yeah, John, you don't like Lex Snow, goddamn.
Booker T was still trying. Was still new to the company here, but he was trying, but it was not very successful, if you ask me. What do you think, Dom?
It was a good match. I don't know why the girls had to be in the match. They should just left Roode and Booker just do the damn thing.
Well, I mean, they explained a little bit because how he put his hands on Charmel, but I agree with you. I'm not a fan of guys putting their hands on women, especially in wrestling. I don't know. I know Tesla beat Brian Cage for the title, but still, I'm just like, I'm sorry. It just doesn't make sense to me.
That match was 7 minutes and 45 seconds. So we get 7 minutes of Booker T and Robert Roode fighting. Next you know, Charmel comes in. Schoolboy gets the win over Peyton Banks, and Bobby Roode is pissed off, and he's getting ready to clock Peyton Banks one good time.
I saw that too. I was like, even in 2008, no bueno, no bueno.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
But it was in a cage.
This steel cage match is just no bueno. It doesn't matter. Right. Or in Spanish, no me importa.
What he said. All right. Our next match, we have Lethal Lockdown. Basically, that's a cage match where you can use weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have Team Cage, which is Christian Cage, Kevin Nash, Silva here. The next big thing, Matt Morgan.
Yo, Rhino. What happened to Matt Morgan? That guy was.
Didn't he run for like mayor or some shit?
Yeah, I think he did that, but I felt like he was wasted talent in WWE. They should have never let him go.
Matt Morgan was a black hole of charisma. He looked good. He was big, tall. He had a good physique and all that stuff, but he had nothing.
He wasn't the master and the ruler.
He was just big. And he had a good haircut.
Man, he didn't go blonde.
Hogan came to TNA. He put all his money behind this dude, Matt Morgan, because he's got the look and the size, brother. He gave him his cape from, you know, his Golden Sterling days. That gimmick for a while. I mean, I like Matt Morgan. He was all right, but, you know, when you look back and you say, what happened to this guy? You know, he showed flashes of, I don't want to say brilliance, but he showed some flashes. And but in the end, he just wasn't that good enough. You're just not that good, buddy.
Damn.
Nope.
That's sad. I feel like he's the perfect size for what Vince wanted back in the day. 7-footer, big, can move, athletic. But like you said, if he can't talk.
DNA of TNA. Matt Morgan, Kevin Nash, Sting, Rhino, Christian Cage, all in the same match. And this is a memory I had telling y'all. You know, I was really hyped to see Sting for my first time ever, but for some reason, when I saw Christian Cage come out, it was a pop more for him for some reason. Oh,
Jesus. I just realized that's my first time seeing Sting too.
Yeah, and Rocket Khan.
All right, so they went against Team Tomko. Ugh. Tyson Tomko, AJ Styles, James Storm, and Team 3D, Bubba Ray, Bully Ray, Brother Ray, and Devon.
How many titles you got in there? Jeez. Pretty much everybody in there.
Famous in that match.
Yeah. Just about.
And Tomko. And Matt Morgan.
Sure.
That's crazy.
Ooh. So we see AJ Styles come out of nowhere and take out Christian to kick off the match, and these guys go back and forth. So
speaking of that,
tell them about the rules. Was it every 3 minutes a new guy comes in the ring?
I think it was every
or the first one.
Yeah, the first one is 5 minutes, and then it was basically like a war games thing. So every 3 minutes, somebody would come in. I could be wrong. It could be two, but we'll go with three. Every 3 minutes, somebody will come in. The match doesn't officially start till all 10 men are in the ring. That's when lethal lockdown starts. That's when they put the top of the cage down. All the top of the cage has all the weapons. And we will begin. Dom? Yes.
And I was fading out on this show because I don't know. Like I couldn't rewatch it. Like I started the match. I'm like, oh my God. It's just too much. It was too clunky for me to continue on. I know what happened, but you guys want to go in detail about this match? Go ahead.
Well, in the beginning of the match, Christian Cage comes in. He starts it off as he's the team captain. And the second that the opponent comes out. It's Tyson Tomko. He's thinking, all right, captain versus captain starting off. But where we were sitting at was perfect timing because somebody came in flying right by us, by our seats. It was AJ Styles. We did not know who the hell was this guy climbing up this cage right when Tomko was coming out. And it's revealed it's AJ Styles. It's like, boom. AJ Styles versus Christian Cage, the instant classic. And honestly, if those guys had had a singles match, it would have been an instant classic. You're talking about two guys that can wrestle anybody, that lead a match. I mean, Randy Orton has always been said that if a match with him and Christian's going to be the one leading the match. So imagine Christian's the one putting the game plan for this whole match with 10 guys. He truly was the instant classic. Yeah, this is a lot of chaos and a lot of gaga because you're going to have it for this match. You got 10 guys coming in and out. It was a clusterfuck, to say the least. It was a lot. So, I mean.
Don't you think, looking at this match on paper, you have Christian, Kevin Nash, Matt Morgan, Rhino, and Sting. against Tomko, James Storm, the Dudleys, and AJ Styles. Who do you think would be your heels?
Tomko.
Yeah, definitely Tomko. And the Dudleys were never really baby faces as it is.
I mean, Sting is not a heel, so
Sting's not a heel, yeah. But I don't know. I feel like that's just like a thrown together team, makeshift team. That's what it seemed like.
That's what it was. It really was just a makeshift set of teams. It's just like, who the hell are you guys? It's like, who the fuck are you, man?
So rewatches, AJ Styles and Tomko were tag champs.
Were they tag champs at one point?
Well. Christian had AJ Styles and Tomko in his faction, the Christian Coalition. Yes. And as you can imagine, any faction does not stay together, bloodline. So they always break up, and that's probably
The New Day.
That's why they broke up into this Team Christian versus Team Tomko, with AJ Styles siding with Tomko, and Christian, they abandoned him, and he was turned face. And once you turn face, you get all your friends back. So there you go.
Even back then, I just don't see Christian as a babyface, man. Something about him, he just looks like a freaking heel.
All right, Vince.
I don't know, man. Christian just, especially all the stories you hear backstage, how he's just a freaking asshole to the guys. Not like an asshole, but he's one of the boys where he's always causing pranks and pissing guys off. I'm like, just leave him as a heel. That's where his money's at, and he's shown his worth in AEW when he turned into the best father of the year.
I'm a big Christian fan, so there we go. Anything I say seems biased because I'm a Christian guy.
Yeah, I'm a Christian guy, even though Dom isn't. He can't stand that son of a.
But that's okay.
It is what it is.
Just like this match was okay. All right. It was. Then we have. Our featured bout, the main event of the evening, in a cage. The champion, Kurt Angle, in his best training shorts, going one-on-one with the Samoan Submission Machine, Samoa Joe. And you know what? Earlier, they had a little inset. They had an interview with, I think it was Frank Trigg or some guy.
Man, yeah, Frank Trigg. Frank Trigg, yep.
That mother effer talked forever and he had nothing to say.
Oh my god.
Jesus. Seriously. Man, god. I mean, he talked well, but god, he had nothing to say. But yeah, it's the main event, and they want to do it kind of shoot style, and the build and the hype worked because this was one of TNA's biggest pay-per-views of all time. Had the biggest buy rate they ever had. I think one of the top five. And, it was supposed to be the crowning moment for Mr. Joe there, the Samoan named Joe. That'll never put butts in seats, right?
Hey, what do you think about Samoa Joe's dad talking? In his promo. Oh, yeah.
Hey, he's not supposed to be a polished professional fighter, okay? No. He's just a dancer, okay? He's just a dancer. That was cute. That was fine. You gotta show Joe. This is a baby face. You're supposed to show their home life and that kind of thing. So if they're not polished, they're not supposed to be good talkers.
No,
like Bob Armstrong.
If he came out and the promo sounded too good, I'm like, he has some coaching. It's not authentic. Yeah. But it just shows the realness of the fights.
It's like Bret Hart's brothers in the Survivor Series. It's like, hey, they're just his brothers, but why is that the other blonde one, Keith or whatever his name was, the one that Vince wanted to push instead of Owen? It's like, why is this guy like playing pro wrestler? We've never seen him in the WWF before. He probably was a big guy in Stampede, but here he was nobody, and he acted like, I'm the big badass around here. It's like, who are you? Yeah.
Well, whole Hart Foundation, that whole Hart family had what? Bruce, Keith, Brett,
Owen. Bruce Hart, yeah.
Man. Jesus. Just how many hearts can you put?
Get your dick out, Stu. All right. So, Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle here. It was fun.
You're talking about my daddy. It's a good match.
Yeah, Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle. This was a title versus career. And Angle, he's been training MMA style, the cage style. He's leaned out. He's ready to, embarrass Joe, trying to make Joe retire.
That was a crazy look for Kurt. I've never seen Kurt look like that. I was like,
Kurt didn't have his traditional trunks on, like Stratfax said. He had the UFC fighter style shorts on, had his feet taped up, and he was ready to go. He had his wife at the time, Karen Angle, Jarrett, whatever you want to call her. She was in the front row, had her escorted out because, you know, women makes the legs weak. Ain't the right plot to know.
Oh, hey. That's why I'm going to be a poppy by July 2nd.
Yes. So this was a good match. This match really mattered right here. I enjoyed the match. Nice. And yeah.
I had a great finish, Joe, you know. So had Kurt Angle up. He held that muscle buster. He held that Kurt in the air in the center of the ring. And then he dropped him. And then they got the 1-2-3. And then there you go, Samoa Joe. Brand new, first time ever, TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Guys, after watching Lockdown 2008, would you guys watch it again?
I would watch only the main event, unfortunately, because everything else, the concepts just didn't go with what they were trying to probably go for. I mean, I get it. No other company was doing this with every match being in the cage, and you just want to make every match different. You don't want to just have a straight cage match, but it just...
See, this Abel expressing himself about the show got him all choked up right now.
Legit, yeah. I was just, it was bad, man. I give them A for effort, but in execution, it just C minus. Just because I know they worked hard and they did the best that they could, but it's not a type of pay per view that I would go back and revisit. To be honest, in my opinion,
I would revisit it only because it's a moment. It really is a captured moment in time of your life that you may not remember exactly well. Maybe watching it will change the memories that you have. I remember being at the show and I thought the entire crowd were a bunch of zombies. They were just TNA going crazy. I mean, they're a great crowd for television. They're just chanting, going nuts, and they were like acting like they were into everything. But I'm like, it wasn't worthy of that. The show wasn't that worthy of being going crazy for. So that's what I remember from being there. I remember just watching the production value in person. I'm like, they're trying. It's not WWE, but they're trying, you know. But at the time, you still hope TNA would just grow and grow. And unfortunately, they didn't. They're still around. They tried. Would I watch the show back? Yeah, there's a few things I'd watch because, you know, I was into some of the performers. Maybe it's not their best work ever. It may not be their best night, but like I said, it's just like going through a yearbook, your high school yearbook. Not all the memories are great, but at least they're there for you to reminisce about. Yes. So I would watch it again. Dom?
For me, it doesn't matter. I was there. I have it on DVDs on the TNA Plus app. I got the memories in my head. It was fun in person, but now that, you know, I'm older and I like good wrestling and stuff that makes sense.
Oh, boy.
I can't say it wasn't bad wrestling.
It's kind of like stuff. It's kind of like reading these comic books or graphic novels as a teenager, and you look back and you're like, God, I read that gothic nonsense.
Yeah.
Buffy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What am I thinking?
All right, let's watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer next week here on Hit This.
Seriously, like, I could go without. It's a good memory. Mm-hmm. And we've seen a lot of Hall of Fame wrestlers, seen a decent division of the Knockouts. But
the X Division kept you going, though, I tell you that.
Yeah, the X Division. X Division was good.
That was our version of the Cruiserweight.
It was good, yeah.
But they didn't have a set limit on your weight. So guys like Samoa Joe and AJ Styles were champions at the time. So they kept you like, maybe I could watch this. Especially when Samoa Joe won the belt for the X Division. I was like, oh, shit. This is worth watching.
Yeah. They have his moments, but like I said, just re-watching it now and, like, you have a cage that you don't utilize a cage. I'm going to handcuff you in every match. We have to climb in the ring to have an official match. Like, that stuff, that's what got me right there.
I think the only person to use the cage was Samoa Joe, to be honest, if I could look back on it. It was during the final moments of the match where Kurt is going after him, and he just throws him to the cage, gets him ready for the muscle buster. 1-2-3. I mean, I think that was probably the best match of the night, hands down.
It was. I mean, Grant. It definitely was.
It was completely different. I mean, it was more of that technical but shoot kind of fighting too that you may have liked, Dom. I know that you like that type of style where it's you don't know if it's real or not, but yet you're technically sound where it's good enough to where you can see just enough that it's still pro wrestling. But like I said, I can't revisit the whole pay-per-view, in my opinion, but it has its moments. Like John said,
Watch the opening match and maybe the main event and Lethal Lockdown. That's basically it.
And then, obviously, I just wanted to watch the women's just because I love watching the women.
Consider everything you've said about this show, talking drunk about it. It's still one of the best TNA shows that ever happened. Wow. So take that with a grain of salt and eat it. But, hey, it is what it is. So if you want to check it out, check it out. If you don't want to check it out, don't check it out. And we were there in person. Matter. We watched it again. And it does not matter what you do.
Dante, you don't need to subscribe. I got the DVD if you want to borrow it.
No. Pay for it. Money.
But you know what matters? Next week, our final show of the month of April, we're taking it back to 2003. Backlash 2003. Strat Facts Choice. The main events. My man, Goldberg, taking on my other man, the most electrifying man in all entertainment, The Rock.
The final boss. The people's champ. The
final boss.
The boss. Also get
Brock Lesnar. Going against John Cena. We also get Chris Jericho, Ric Flair, and Triple H going against Booker T, Kevin Nash, and Shawn Michaels. It's going to be a good show next week.
I'm just a
sexy boy. This show might have sucked. It might not matter, but next week definitely matters.
I'm just a boy toy. I'm just a sexy boy. And Dom's going to plan this out. Oh, yeah. One,
yes.
Two, three, and we are done.
This See you next week.
Bobby Platino, the Notorious One, and Strat Facts John. Ooh, yeah.